I venture, and I don't want to give a percentage, but how much of trouble that people end up in, how much is it due to their mouth? How much is it due to the fact that they could not, going back to point number one, they could not control what they said, and now they're in trouble? Yeah, just think about all the people that have lost their jobs, national public people that have lost their jobs. I think of Jimmy the Greek.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series on personal discipline with part one of Personal Discipline, the Tongue. So please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, as we join Dr. Glaze for the part one of Personal Discipline, the Tongue.
We've been talking about, and just by way of review, before we get into the message this morning, the idea of discipline in the Christian life, that we would live in such a way that our lives would be exemplary of discipline. And one of the things that I was studying and found out that the word disciple, at the root of the word disciple, is discipline. And vice versa. So your call to discipleship is actually a call to discipline. And your call to discipline is a call to discipleship. We see the picture of discipline. The picture of discipline is seen in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where it says in Hebrews chapter 12 that he endured the cross. He could have came down. But he disciplined himself to stay on the cross. We talked about the areas of discipline. Last week, we looked at the mind. We said that you've got to gird up the loins of your mind. This morning, we're going to talk about one, and I'm going to relate it. You know, I praise God for the songs that were sung and the fact that this is Thanksgiving, because we should be using our tongue to give thanks. Amen. We should be using our tongue to give thanks, but we're going to see this morning that we use it for other things. Then we talked about the body, that you've got to discipline your body. And Paul said that he brought his body under subjection, lest after he preached to others that he himself became a castaway. And then we said that you have to discipline your emotions. And Proverbs talks about how that a person that cannot control his emotions is like a city with its walls broke down. That means that you are unprotected when you can't control your emotions. And then we said that there are five keys to personal discipline. Five keys. First of all, you have to have a successful mindset. That you got to have the right mindset, that you're not going to be disciplined. And we talked about that last week, how that discipline starts in the mind. If you're going to be disciplined, you have to exercise self-control. That there are things that you have to say no to. That you have to gird up your spirit and control your spirit and walk away from some things. And then we said that you have to strive for objectives that are worthwhile. You know, people, Paul said, they run in a race. They run to receive a corruptible crown. But praise God, we run to receive an incorruptible crown. So we need to set those goals and objectives that are worthwhile. I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and this person was telling me about this little boy that said, His objective in life, his career that he wanted when he grew up, was to be a bandit. And I said, wow, that's pretty serious right there. You know, you want to be a bandit. But so we want to labor for objectives that are worthwhile. You know, we don't want to put stuff out there that doesn't please the Lord. We don't want to strive for objectives that are not God-centered and are not ordained by God. And then we want to stay focused at all times. If you want to discipline yourself, you have to stay focused at all times. And this is in regard to anything, whether it's diet, whether it's employment, education, whatever the key is, that you have to maintain your focus. And then finally, we see that you need to make any sacrifices that are needed if you're going to have personal discipline. That all comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. We went in detail there, so the messages are available if you want to pick them up. And then we talked about a commitment to consistency, a commitment to consistency. And we said that once you have become disciplined, then you need to be consistent in your discipline. And we said that, first of all, it involves dedication, that you got to be steadfast. Secondly, it involves determination. You got to be unmovable. And third, it involves domination, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so that brings us to our lesson today. And our lesson is personal discipline, the tongue. Personal discipline, the tongue. Let's look in our Bibles this morning at James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter. And verse 1. My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater judgment. For in many things we all stumble. If any a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they are so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm wherever the pilot willeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter, a little matter, fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among the members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now here we talk about Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are great. You are worthy. Thank you, Lord. We give you all praise. And with it, curse we men, who are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. Father, we come to you today, and we ask that you would take this message, and Lord, that you would translate it into fruit in the lives of those of us who are here. Lord, we're talking about discipline. And Lord, last week we talked about the discipline of the mind. And Lord, this week we want to talk about disciplining another area of our life, and that is disciplining our tongue. Lord, truly, if we can discipline our tongues, Lord, there are other areas of our life that will come under control. And so we commit this message to you, Lord. And even though we know that it's not a popular message, because from the pulpit all the way to the pew, everyone is guilty of misuse of the tongue. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just guide and direct us today. And Father, as we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, Lord, we don't want to lower the bar, we want to raise the bar. And so even though it may seem that some of the things that we talk about may be a stretch for some, yet and still, Lord, we don't want to lower the bar just because of human beings and the way that we are and the way that we think. Lord, we want to keep the bar high so that we have something high to aim for, and if we miss, we'll still come up in a large way. And so, Father, we pray that you would just take this message, ingrain it in our hearts and in our spirits, and we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, at your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. What is the tongue? You know, the tongue, as we look at Scripture, many times you have to look at when it's used in its context, because sometimes it may refer to that literal member of our body that's in our mouth. And other times when the Bible speaks of the tongue, it is actually referring to the words that come out of our mouth. So in James, when he uses the tongue, he's referring not only to that member in our mouth, but he's also referring to the words that come out of our mouth, that your words are your tongue. Now, I've often thought, you ever wonder why God gave us two ears and one mouth? Because he wants us to do more listening than talking. You ever wonder why God put our tongue behind a cage in water? Why did he put our tongue in a cage, the teeth, and douse it in water and put it no less than 6 inches from our brain? Because I figured out, why did he do that? Well, go to that next slide. That tells you exactly why he did it. Because James said, the tongue is a fire, and it's a world of iniquity. Man, you think about, you know, the Bible speaks of our body parts, and it says, you know, some different things about our body parts, but this one right here seems to be one of the worst that it says, that the tongue is a fire, and it says that not only does it have iniquity, and we're going to look at this as we get into the message, but it says that it is a world of iniquity. It is a world of iniquity. And I was going through the scripture, and I thought about, what are some ways that we can sin with our tongue? How can we sin with our tongue? Well, lying, gossiping, exaggeration, speaking harshly to others, tearing down another person, bragging, hypocritical speaking, foul language, sowing discord, arguing, and evil speaking. You know, these are, and I'm sure that if I had time to get into it, or if you want to do a study on it, you could probably find three times more than I have listed here. But these are just some of the ways that you can sin with your tongue. Now, it would be interesting, and I haven't done a study on it, but it would be interesting to do a study just on the different body parts that we have and the different ways that we can sin with the body parts that we have. I just thought of this. You know, the Holy Spirit is good. You know, I just thought about this. And which body part would outnumber the ways that we can sin more than the others? And I think that we probably would come to the conclusion that it is the tongue. When you think about it, you know, there's only a certain amount of sin that people can do with other body parts, but this thing called the tongue, it just seems to be unlimited in the damage that it can do. And I put down the bottom, take the tongue test. You know, in the last month, which one have you done? James said that we're perfect if we can control the tongue. Well, if, you know, I would venture to say that he that's without sin, cast the first stone. All right, cast the first stone. So as I said in my prayer, we're trying to keep the bar high. Let's not lower the bar and say, well, you know, we had a Bible study a couple weeks ago, and we got into an issue of, you know, we talked about the Hebrew midwives, how that they lied to Pharaoh, and then we talked about Rahab, how she lied to the men of the city. And then we asked the question, is it ever all right to lie? And then we start talking about white lies, and, you know, so we got into that whole discussion. Now I'm not going to put the business out from the Bible study. So we're not going to do that. But needless to say, that there were some struggles that we had in there. You know, just dealing with that, and that's just one aspect. Just dealing with that one aspect. You know, is it ever all right to tell a lie? And if you want to know, you ask somebody in Bible study, they can tell you. All right. So there are a multiplicity of ways that we can sin with our tongue. But when we think about it, what is it that we should do with our tongues? And the scripture is very clear that, first of all, and I want to look at these verses because these are some powerful verses regarding the tongue. See, because if we can do these things, then we can what? We can praise. James said, how can you praise on one hand? How can you give thanks on one hand? How can you praise the infinite God who is almighty, omnipotent, unchanging? How can you praise him and then curse somebody who is made in the similitude of God? See, that's why our tongues have to be controlled. Now, I already anticipated and planned for no amens this morning. So that's already built into the message. You know, when I sat down and worked out, I factored that into the message. You know, your amens kind of make the message go on for about 10 minutes more when you say amen, because then I pause, you know, but when you don't say amen, you know, I got to fill that time. All right. The first thing that we see is that the tongue is small and influential, and it must be controlled. Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Yes, amen. Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Let me control what comes out of here. You know, a person that just lets anything and everything fly off their lips has no control over their tongue. The psalmist says here, Lord, let me have control over what I say. And just don't let me have my gums flapping and my tongue flapping in the wind. Secondly, the tongue is satanic and infectious. It must be corralled. It must be pulled in. And that's Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23. Proverbs 21 and verse 23. And it says here, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. From trouble. I venture, and I don't want to give a percentage, but how much of trouble that people end up in, how much is it due to their mouth? How much is it due to the fact that they could not, going back to point number one, they could not control what they said, and now they're in trouble? You know, just think about all the people that have lost their jobs, national public people that have lost their jobs. I think of Jimmy the Greek. He, years ago, you might not know who he was, but he was a common sports commentator. He made a negative comment about African-American athletes. He was done after that. He was done. Don Imus, he had a television program and radio show. He made negative comments. He was done. You know, just think of all the other people that have made negative comments, and it has taken them down. You know, one of the things I used to love, man, I used to love Monday Night Football and when Hank Williams would come on there and sing, are you ready for some football? A Monday night party. And even if I didn't watch the game, I turned it on just to hear Hank Williams sing, you know, are you ready for some football? He makes a negative comment. That day, the game was supposed to come on that night. That day, they pulled him. They snatched it. Hasn't been on since then. And so when you think about a lot of people and the trouble that they get into, how are they getting into trouble? They're getting into trouble because they're running their mouth. All right? The tongue is salty and inconsistent. It must be cleansed. It must be cleansed. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. It must be cleansed. And Isaiah has this vision of God where he sees these angels flying in heaven. And Isaiah says in verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of what? Unclean lips, And I dwell in the midst of a people of what? Unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. So, you know, you look at Isaiah before this, he probably was praising God. But he backed it up and said, well, you know what, man? My lips are unclean. And so are the people that are around me. Their lips are unclean. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. Now look at the first place he laid it. Not on his hands, not on his feet, not on his mind. And he came over and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. The first place that he took the coals and put on Isaiah was his lips, was his tongue. Why? Because he knew that the tongue had to be cleansed. You know, there were many times in the Old Testament that God charged the people that you draw close to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You know how to praise with your lips. You know how to worship with your lips, but it's not connected to the heart. And so Isaiah has his heart, or his lips, cleansed as he worships the Lord. And this is something that we need to realize, that God is looking for people who have clean lips, that you praise him with clean lips. Now, again, notice I didn't say sinless lips, because none of us are sinless. And really, to be honest with you, the tongue is very hard. It's very hard to tame. Let me put this challenge out to you. Go 1 month. And I was thinking, and I wrote it down here. Go 1 month using your tongue just to speak righteousness, speak the truth in love. Now, these are all scripture. Proverbs 10:21, speak righteousness. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. Proverbs 16:24, speak pleasant words. Ephesians 4:29, build up others. And Hebrews 10:24-25, speak words of comfort and encouragement to others. Go a whole month and just do that. Just do that. I could almost, you know, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, but I'd be willing to bet that nobody in here can do it. I'd be willing to bet. And I hate to say, including yours truly, you know? So, yeah, somebody said 1 week. But what does that show us? That shows us how the tongue is really uncontrollable. How we just have a difficult time controlling our tongue. So maybe what we need to focus on, again, we're shooting for perfection. We are shooting for perfection. But maybe what we need to focus on at first is just minimizing. Just minimizing the flapping. Just minimize the bad talk. Just minimize some of that. And at least we'll be headed in the right direction. At least we'll be headed toward perfection. And then we can start thinking about and working on perfection. So I'm going to put that challenge out. Anybody who does it, let me know in a month. And then I'll take you to 1 John chapter 1. Where it says that, you know, you committed the sin of lying. So.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Personal Discipline, the Tongue. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Personal Discipline, the Tongue, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Personal Discipline, the Tongue. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Personal Discipline, the Tongue. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.